Well, my dear friends, may the grace, God's grace and mercy and peace be yours this day in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our risen Lord and Savior and our King. The title for our sermon today is called On the Road and at the Table. And hopefully we will have that picture on the screen momentarily here as we see the two men on the road with our Lord Jesus as they are traveling to Emmaus. This was probably a very wonderful walk, and I want you today to try to put yourselves in that picture, walking side by side with the Lord, knowing that what he has done for us. And as we listen to the conversation between Jesus and these two disciples on that road to Emmaus. Well, that walk really didn't start off very well on that wonderful Sunday afternoon. Those two fellows that you see pictured there, they're on their way home from Jerusalem. And they're going back to the town of Emmaus. But they are sad. They're confused. And ultimately, they are discouraged. The reason is that their master, Jesus, has been crucified just a couple of days earlier on that Good Friday. They had been followers of him among his large group of disciples. And so, naturally, all they can think about is the tragic events that had occurred to their Savior those days before. But you'll notice in the picture that all of a sudden there is a stranger. That stranger catches up with them, and he joins them as they walk. And of course, we know that that is Jesus, but they did not. For the text tells us that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. God had something for them to learn that day, that afternoon and evening, and to experience. And so this stranger asks them what they are talking about. And so they begin to fill him in, and they say to him that they've been talking about Jesus of Nazareth, the man who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before the Lord God and all of the people, and how their chief priests and the rulers had delivered him up to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And so we know that these certain disciples had certain hopes also about Jesus. But for them, they thought their hopes were gone. Their dreams had been shattered, and all their hopes had ended, because Jesus was dead, as far as they knew. He had been crucified, and before he could do anything to achieve the goal that they had wanted him to accomplish, we had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. But now, who was going to be the one that would deliver them from the nasty hands of the Romans? Who would lead the nation to glory? At least in the foreseeable future, they could think of no one. And so these two men felt like God had abandoned them, had let them down. How long, O Lord, how long before the promised Messiah finally arrives? Because apparently it must not have been Jesus, because he did not get the job done. But then we hear the words of Jesus, and he scolds them. Oh, foolish sons and slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And so Jesus scolds them for not recognizing what had been under their noses all along. And the scriptures, the part that we call the Old Testament, the scriptures had been telling them all along what had happened to the Messiah, what would happen. But unfortunately, they had missed it. Jesus, like everybody else, they did not get it. They were looking for another kind of a Savior, one that would fit their own expectations. They were certainly not looking for a Savior that was going to be rejected, or even rejected by their own religious leaders. And they were not expecting to have a Messiah that was going to have to suffer and to die in shame and weakness. And so Jesus then takes them through the scriptures in order that they can see what they've been missing. And what a Bible study that must have been. What scriptures did our Lord use? Well, he goes back to the stories of Moses, perhaps, and Elijah and Jeremiah, prophets who had spoken God's word to God's people. And yet, those prophets were also rejected. They most surely would have taken them to then Isaiah 53, known as the Song of Suffering, servant. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And perhaps Jesus took them to Psalm 22, which is the cry of the righteous sufferer. My God, why have you forsaken me? And so this stranger on the road to Emmaus begins to open up for them the scriptures so that they could see what had happened to Jesus actually was a part of God's plan, that it had been prophesied and that it was necessary that the Christ should suffer these things. And those same scriptures tell us today the same thing, that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and die. Beginning back in Genesis chapter 3, where God told Adam and Eve that in this very act of the serpent striking the woman's seed in the heel, that one would strike the serpent in the head and thus destroy his power. Then we think of the scriptures where it talks of death, the shedding of blood, to make a sacrifice for sin. And then we go back to Isaiah 53 again. He was wounded for our what? Transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The death of Jesus was absolutely necessary, and it was necessary to save all of us from sin and to deliver us from death and the devil. It was Jesus who stood in our place, and he took that punishment that each one of us rightly deserved. Those two Emmaus disciples were looking for a very successful Messiah. Therefore, they had thought that things had turned out rather badly, that Jesus had been a failure. But little did they realize that it was precisely in dying that he would redeem Israel. And this was how he would redeem the whole world. Yes, our Redeemer died that we might live, really live, now and forever. Just as he has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. All that the Emmaus disciples knew was that he, as they headed down that road that day, that Jesus had died. And they didn't know why. This is now the third day since all this sad business took place. Oh, some of our women went out to the tomb this morning, they found it empty, and they came back with some wild story about Jesus being alive. But who can believe that? Well, we can, because we have the report. We know the report of the women. And as amazing as it sounds, it was true. And now, their Lord is walking right beside them on that road, and they didn't even realize it. But soon they would. And so those three travelers eventually come to Emmaus that day, that evening, and it's getting late. And they said to him, "Stay with us, sir. Abide with us. Come into our home and be our guest for a while. Come and eat with us." And so that stranger does. He enters the house. But while he is at table with them, guess what? The guest becomes the host. In the same ways, what Jesus does here at the table is very much like what he had done in Jerusalem just a few days before, and especially on that Monday, Thursday evening. He took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And it was in the breaking of that bread that their eyes were opened. And they now recognize Jesus for who he is. Well, we see that our Lord sets a pattern now for the church. That pattern is simply this. First, there is teaching, and then there is eating. There is opening up of the scriptures, and there is the breaking of the bread. There is the word, and today we have that privilege of breaking bread, of the sacrament, the Lord's day, in the presence of Christ, as we will in just a few moments. And as his disciples too, we want all of what our Lord has to give to us. So today, we have gone with Jesus. We are on the road and at the table. And so those Emmaus disciples go from their shattered hopes that they had and their closed eyes to a burning in their hearts, and their eyes are open to see their Lord and Savior. They go from that slow of heart to having faith burning in their hearts. Their eyes are opened, and they see that stranger for who he is, their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For in that picture, that must have been a very glorious experience for them. Too bad we couldn't have been there really in person to enjoy it. But wait a minute. We, too, are foolish. How slow of heart we are to believe. No, we can't go back to Emmaus, but Jesus does come to us. He comes to us here today in his body and in his blood. As we walk along that road of life, it is our risen Lord that walks along with us each and every single day. Surely, I will be with you all day to the close of the age. And so it is our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus is here with us now, this very moment, in the gathering of his people here this morning. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. And so Jesus is right here. He's here with us right now. He is opening the scriptures for us. We even acknowledge that he is present with us. How? In the service. Well, when the Holy Gospel is read, what do? We stand. We stand in honor of that Holy Gospel as we hear the Lord speaking to us in his precious words. And today we will also receive those life-giving words in a very special way as he prepares for us and strengthens us on our life on that road. And likewise, as we come to the table in just a few minutes, Jesus is here too, and he is really present with us. Here at this table, he is going to receive us, even us, foolish sinners and slow to understand, like you and me. He will receive us in fellowship with him. The crucified yet living one gives us his own body and blood to eat and to drink this day, for the forgiveness of sins. And it is in this breaking of bread that our eyes are going to be opened, our faith, eyes of faith will be opened, and for here we will see our Lord face to face. That Emmaus story is a very wonderful story for us today. It says that Jesus will be with us on the road and at the table. But he has also been with us ever since the day of our baptism. And he will continue to walk with us as we travel along our own road. And as we encounter our own set of disappointments, and perhaps those unmet expectations that we might have in our own lives, we also know that Jesus is going to be there with us. He will be walking right beside us as he did with those two disciples. Jesus will be there week after week. Our Lord opens our hearts and minds to the scriptures for us, the scriptures that deal with himself, who is the one who died, who is the one who lives, and gives us life and hope in this very day. Time and time again, our Lord will host us here at his table, and we will be able to enjoy the fellowship with him and with each other. We do have a God who really loves us, who cares for us, who has come for us, who has redeemed us, and he will continue to walk and carry us every single step of the way. And so my word of encouragement to you this morning is simply this. Rejoice. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And this is the peace which surpasses all understanding, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all the children of God said, Amen.